So, did you notice there were two important things that can actually help us as we're thinking about what we're thinking this morning in the story? The first was that the Transformers were stuck so fast, there was nothing they could possibly do to rescue themselves. And the second thing was that the one who rescued them was like them, but he was also something more than them. But of course, Transformers, that's only make-believe. That's TV fantasy. But this morning, we're going to be thinking how actually our lives are very much the same. Human beings are stuck in an impossible situation, and there is only one way, one person who can rescue us. But before we do that, Ian is going to come and read to us from the Bible.
So the reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 25. To this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, shall we just pray before we think about that passage together? Thank you, God, for your word, the Bible. As we turn the pages together or on our own, we learn so much about your love for us. We read the stories in it and we see how you care for your people, even though we fail you so often. And as we read your words for us, you teach us about following you. Thank you, God, for your word, through which you invite us to know you fully and intimately, the God who loves us, who rescues us, and helps us. Amen. Does anyone here like watching quiz shows? I don't know whether you're like me, but isn't it amazing? When you're sitting safely at home in front of the television, you know all the answers. And yet the people on the television, they're making mistake after mistake. And I find myself yelling at the TV, the answers, but they never seem to hear me. It's even worse when I'm watching a thriller or a TV murder mystery. I can see the danger they're walking into. I can see the mistakes that they're making. And I'm yelling, don't be so stupid. Can't you see? It's all going to go horribly wrong. Why are you doing that? It's so frustrating. And I suspect that must be a little how God feels as he watches the people that he has made, making a mess of the world that he's created for us and the lives that he's given us to enjoy. He has never stopped calling out to us. But so many people, they don't seem to be paying the slightest bit of attention, even though he could make our lives so much better, so much more fulfilling. Well, let's just spend a few minutes reminding ourselves of who this God is. He is the God that has created this world that we live on. He's created the sun, the moon, the stars, the heavens, all of these things. He has created not only the earth, but the moon and everything beyond it. He has enabled us to stand on the moon and look back. He has created the sun and the planets, everything that gives us life, that helps the plants to grow, that nourishes and feeds and waters and sustains us. And far beyond that, he's created galaxies, Billions upon billions upon billions of galaxies scattered throughout this vast universe. He is the God who is looking over all that he has made, holding it in his hands. He's made all this vastness, all this scale. He is the God of the infinite. But he's also our Father God, the one who made our planet and filled it with beauty and wonder and provided for all our needs. So we're going to spend a little while just looking at our planet. Here it is. Here's our planet. Does somebody want to come out and hold it for me? Because I'm going to need somebody who's going to carry it around a bit. Come on, Ollie. Right, can you hold that for me? Right. Now, could you just go find someone and ask them, can they find China on the map for me? Anybody find China on the map? Yeah, you're pointing roughly in the right direction. That'll do. Can you go find somebody who can find the United States of America for me? Oh, Erica thinks she knows where it is. Oh, we've turned the world upside down in our attempt to look for the States. There we are. That's it. Got it. Right. Could you come back again, Ollie, and take this with you this time? I want you just to pass it around a few people and ask them just to put their initials on the globe. Anywhere you like. Just put your initials. God has made everything. He has made the universe to the little subatomic particles from which we're made, and everything is made, everything we see and everything we can't see. And he made us in his own image. He made us free to choose right from wrong. He put us in this world, and what do? We make a mess. We scribble all over it. We were in big trouble. We didn't even recognize it. And only God could do something about the mess that we were in. Our majestic, awesome, all-powerful Creator God was prepared to set his glory aside and become one of us so that we could be rescued forever. And I thought, while we think about that, and about what God has done to put it right, it would be good if we spent a little time saying sorry to God, the God who rescues us, wants so much more for us. He never stops loving us. He never stops changing us. And we have an opportunity now, as we come to worship this mighty God, to say sorry for the things that we've said and done that have made him sad, and to ask for his forgiveness, knowing that he promises always to forgive us, to restore us, and to help us grow as disciples of Jesus. So we can have one more, and then if you could bring the globe back to me, Ollie, that would be great. So we're going to say sorry together. So let us confess our sins to God and ask for his forgiveness. For all the wrong things we have done, in your mercy, forgive us, O God. For forgetting what we ought to have remembered, for failing to do as we promised, for turning away when we should have listened, for being careless when we should have been diligent, in your mercy, forgive us, O God. For doing the things we knew would annoy, for acting in ways we knew would hurt, for behaving in ways we knew would disappoint, in your mercy, forgive us, O God. O God, when we look back, we can see how foolish and wrong we have been. Forgive us and help us not to do the same things again. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Jesus says, if you are tired from carrying heavy burdens, come to me, and I will give you rest. Lord, thank you that you rescued us when we were helpless to help ourselves. Thank you that you died for us so that we might be forgiven and start a new life in the power of your Spirit. Having found a couple of these words. Now, if you were on a big ship in the middle of the ocean and you fell overboard, what might the captain of that ship do when he saw that you'd fallen into the sea? Do you think he'd get his megaphone out? He'd point off in the direction of the horizon and he'd say, "There it is, swim that way." Do you think he'd do that? No? Okay. Do you think that the captain, seeing that you were drowning in the ocean, might say something to you like, "Tell you what, I'll throw you the lifebelt, but only if you prove to me that you're really worth saving"? What have you done with your life so far? Have you won any major awards? Have you won the Nobel Peace Prize? Have you done anything worthwhile in your life? Do you think the captain would ask you that if you were drowning? No, okay. Do you think the captain would say, "If you climb halfway up the side of the ship, then I'll throw the life buoy down, I'll pick you up halfway up, and I'll pull you back"? Do you reckon he'd do that if you were almost drowning? He's not going to do any of these things, is he? Oops. He'd rescue you, wouldn't he? He or she or one of the crew, they would throw you a life belt, and it's something that you could hang on tight to, like my inflatable globe there. And once you had a good hold of that inflation device, he would pull you back into the ship, thus saving you from drowning. Well, God is like the captain, and sin is like falling overboard. We are all floundering and drowning, and there's nothing we can do to rescue ourselves. And God sees our predicament. He doesn't point us in the general direction of safety and say, "Go to it." He doesn't ask us whether or not we deserve to be saved, because, well, quite frankly, no matter how brilliant, no matter how good, no matter how kind, no matter how gifted, we're never going to be worthy enough, deserving of rescue. He doesn't ask us to try and save ourselves just a little bit, as best we can, and then promises that he'll do the rest. God does it all for us, regardless of who we are or what we are like, simply because he loves us. And God has always known that there is only one way that he can rescue us, and that's by doing it himself. And he set aside his majesty and his glory, all that creation that we saw earlier. He set it aside and he became one of us. And it's because both that Jesus was both God and man that he could be our savior. See, Jesus was the promised Messiah that the Jewish people had been waiting for. And when he was on earth as a man, Jesus was always rescuing people from all sorts of things. He rescued sick people from their diseases. And he rescued his disciples from a terrible storm at sea. And sometimes he even rescued people from death, bringing them back to life. Because Jesus was human, he could die like all humans die. And because he was God, he was perfect and never ever sinned. And because he was both of these things at once, when he died on the cross, Jesus was able to take all the wrong in the world on himself, all the punishment that we deserved instead of us. And he was the only one who could ever do such a thing for us. Ian read to us from Peter's first letter to the church in Asia a little earlier. And if you remember, it said, "He himself," that's Jesus, "bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live to righteousness, and by his wounds you have been healed. Peter was always telling people things like that. The very first time that he preached a sermon was on the day of Pentecost, which we celebrated a few weeks ago. And God on that day sent the Holy Spirit to live within all those that trusted him and followed Jesus. And on that day, which we can read about in Acts chapter 4, Peter says of Jesus, "Salvation or rescue is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Now, we know from experience, don't we, that we are simply incapable of living by God's standards. We are a fallen people. We're struggling against our own better nature to be good enough. And on the face of it, it seems like a desperate situation. We are hopeless and helpless to do anything for ourselves. And that's just what God wanted us to realize. Because once we recognize that reality of our situation, once we recognize we're hopeless and helpless, then it's time for the good news. We have a life belt. We have Jesus, who died to save us and rose again from the dead so that we could be with him forever. And if Jesus was prepared to do that for you and for me, how should we respond? If we were drowning and I threw a life belt or a flotation device at you, what would you do? You'd grab hold of it, wouldn't you? Grab hold of it, and you'd hold tight to it, saving you from drowning. You'd realize that it was the only thing that was keeping you from a watery grave. The only thing that was going to save you, and you'd hold on so tight. And that's the offer that's held out to each one of us. So what are we going to do about it? Just one more thought before we finish. If you remember back to the Transformers clip that we had a little earlier, there was one more important point that I think that came out of it. It was right at the end, after Optimus had rescued all the other members of his team, one of the team members came forward and said how sorry they were that they had failed him and the mission. But Optimus replied, "The mission is not yet over. Let's accomplish it together." Once we catch hold of Jesus, accepting the promises that he makes to us, accepting the forgiveness of God, then we become his followers. And following Jesus means becoming more like him, living to love God and to serve others. And that's going to be a lifelong transformation. But the God who rescues us doesn't abandon us. He doesn't leave us to our own devices. He's also the God who helps us. And we're going to be looking at that next week. So thinking of our loving, rescuing God, let's pray together. Loving God, you are our rescuer. And we come before you now with thankful hearts, grateful for the gift of Jesus Christ, who took all our sin and our selfishness upon himself on the cross, so that we could be made clean and whole. We come before you now with open hearts, trusting in your love for us. We come before you now with willing hearts, ready to follow where you may lead. Keep us safe forever in your everlasting love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.